Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good evening, everybody. Welcome back to another special live edition of Can We Talk Radio. I am your host, Raz Williams, bringing you Can We Talk Radio once a week every Friday from 8 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. I'm excited to be here. Today is part two of last week's episode. We specifically talked about the rise of Satanism in the music industry, where we talked about why the devil specifically uses music as a tool to keep people's hearts far from God. We also talked about the use of hand signal symbology and much, much more. And if you guys didn't get a chance to listen to it, pull up the archives from last week's show and check it out. I want to give a shout-out to a very special man, my father-in-law. His name is Herbert Rice, a prolific man, a father, a servant of the community, and most importantly, a true man of God. He sadly passed away a few days ago, and may you rest in peace, sir. We will see you again. Your work here on this earth will continue. With that said, I want to have some very great people here on the show tonight. Nikki's here with me tonight. Nikki, what's going on? Are you good?
Hey, Raz, how you doing?
I'm pretty good. How you doing?
I'm fine.
Awesome, Nikki. Good to have you back on Can We Talk. Next, we have Minister Christian back in the building. How you doing, Minister Christian?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm blessed. Minister Christian, what do you think of last week's topic, and what do you think of continuing part two today?
Oh, I think last week's topic was really insightful, and I'm looking forward to the information that we're going to bring out today.
Absolutely. And next we have Sister Pam is back in the building. How you doing, Pam?
Joy, praise the Lord. How you doing, Raz?
I'm doing pretty good. So, Pam, are you excited? Yes, that's right. So, Pam, are you excited to do part two?
Hey, I'm excited. I mean, I'm thankful that you had me back on this week, and I'm excited that we're going to be able to share the information, and hopefully we can get people to come out and hear Craig Lewis on the 24th. Of this month.
Now, Pam, where is Craig Lewis going to be? Let everyone know who Craig Lewis is and where, if they want to come out, where they can go out and see him.
Well, Craig Lewis is in the Texas area, and his ministry is called X Ministries. And Craig Lewis is an awesome man of God who ministers to people concerning not just the hip-hop culture, but he also is informative. He informs the body of Christ of the different type of music, how music is, how the enemy is using music to deceive a lot of people and to, you know, to pull them back into the world, keep them in the world, and keep them in a worldly, carnal state of mind. And he's going to be at the Fred Francis Church, Christian Crenshaw Center in Los Angeles, California, on January 24th. I believe service starts about 7 o'clock.
Absolutely. So I think I will. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just saying it'd be great to have a lot of young people and of all ages come out and hear Craig Lewis. You'd be very informed. It seems like every time he comes out with more and new in-depth information, not just into the music industry, but just as to what's going on with the body of Christ and how the church is allowing the, compromise to come into the church through music, because a lot of churches sometimes are more concerned about members more so than souls. And what happens is they'll do different things to compromise, you know, with artists, with the praise and worship and choirs and things like that. They'll bring different artists and different types of music in to try to draw young people into the church. And Craig Lewis exposes all that, and he does a lot of study and research. So anybody that comes out will definitely be informed. And I believe with him coming out this time in 2014, he's going to have more information to share with the body of Christ.
Absolutely. I've been to Craig Lewis before, and he definitely gives you a lot of things to think about, and he has a lot of insightful information that you probably wouldn't know about. So I would definitely encourage those of you listening to definitely make a trip out to Crenshaw Christian Center on the 24th of January, which is next week Friday, in Los Angeles, and you'll definitely be in for a treat. With that said, I don't think we don't have Ronnie on the airwaves today, so that's we're going to continue the show. With that said, guys, if you have a question or comment, you can call us at 347-945-7310. That number again is 347-945-7310, and hit the number 1 on your keypad. Well, guys, it's time for the news. Minister Christian, what do we have going on in the news in the world today?
One thing that I found was actually kind of going with like what we're going to be talking about today with the music industry and as far as things being exposed. Shania O'Connor, wrote an open letter to Miley Cyrus. Has anybody heard about that? Okay, she's talking about how she says that you are being pimped by the music industry. And in the letter, she addresses the fact that Miley Cyrus is, in fact, being told what to do by her holders, who are turning her into another industry sex kitten. And she also talks about the fact that your youth makes you blind to the evils of show business. If you have an innocent heart, you can't recognize those who do not. And she goes on in her website to also talk about the fact that her actions are, in fact, being propagated, and that she lets her know that, in fact, she's looking foolish, and tells her basically some insight about the Rolling Stones, and even furthers it to tell her that, in fact, she needs to rely more on her talent and less on her body to win the approval of others. So just want to throw that out there and ask any of the panels, do you have any comments about that article?
And the artist was who now? Is it Sinead O'Connor?
Sinead O'Connor. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And she was just she wrote a letter to Miley Cyrus to pretty much, rebuke her of her little twerking session, right?
Not so much the twerking session, but just to let her know that, in fact, she's being used. She's being prostituted, as she called it.
Wow, that's deep.
And that, in fact,
Wow, well, with a comment like that, I wonder if Sinead O'Connor even has a career, because she's, that's definitely true. I mean, a lot of people, are selling their relationship with Jesus Christ and their respect for God for YouTube hits and ratings and money. So, I mean, I think that's right on point.
Yeah.
And, with that said, Miley Cyrus, too, I believe she's involved in some type of ritual satanic worship going on with a lot of her entertainment, her act. If you really look at what she's doing, how she's sticking her tongue out, and a lot of the movement that she's doing, if you go on her, if you look up her, look her up on YouTube, you'll see that she's mimicking some goddess by the name of Kali. I believe it is, and some Indian goddess. And so a lot of the stuff that they're doing is summoning up these goddesses, these demon spirits. And they have these demon spirits that they're worshiping have names. And this particular one that she's, actually doing a ritual for is some type of Indian goddess. And I believe it has, like, several arms. It always has its mouth stuck out and, I mean, its tongue, the tongue that she's doing. So they're doing a lot of rituals, satanic rituals, when they're performing. And I don't think a lot of young people realize that, what they're doing. They're participating in this, but it's getting pretty deep. And, yeah, she probably is being told what to do for a lot of reasons, but a lot of it goes into demonic worship. Mm. You have to look it up. You'll see it on the Internet.
Yeah. Nikki, do you have any comments on that article?
Oh, no, I was listening to what Pam was saying, and to me, what I had looked at it as is, you know, how with the whole Illuminati thing, they have to go through certain initiations. Mm-hmm. And so I was thinking that I was led to believe that that's probably what's going on. So, of course, those things go hand in hand, you know, so... That's my comment on that.
Absolutely. Thanks very much for that article. And, Nikki, do you have any articles you want to share?
The article that I came across was, it's titled, Nigerian Man Whipped and Fined for Breaking Gay Laws. It says that Kano, a Nigerian man, 20 years old, was flogged in public and fined after being convicted of breaking Islamic law banning homosexuality, an official said on Friday. Mubarak Ibrahim received 20 lashes with a horse whip before a large crowd outside the Sharia court in the northern city of Baki on Thursday. The court ordered that he be given 20 strokes and ordered him to pay a $5,000 fine. An official with the Bakri Court State Commission told the newspaper. The judgment was based on the prosecution's submission and testimony of witnesses that the last time the convict committed a homosexual act was 7 years ago and has since repented. The conviction came after it was formed earlier this week that the Nigerian's president, Goodluck Jonathan, had signed a bill outlawing gay marriage and same-sex unions. The law, which carries a maximum 14-year prison term for anyone entering such unions and up to 10 years in jail for supporting gay groups and clubs, has provoked international condemnation. Ibrahim's case was tried, however, under Islamic law, which runs parallel to the state and federal justice system in Nigeria's mainly Muslim north. Sharia prescribes the death penalty for homosexuality, but Zakari said the prosecution would not appeal against the sentence. Ibrahim himself said he was grateful to the court for not imposing the maximum punishment. He says it has been a huge relief, and he thanked the court for the leniency it showed in sentencing him to 20 lashes instead of the death sentence he had anticipated. He said he'd given up and surrendered to death while in custody, waiting for judgment. He said he was confused and did not know what to do. The defendant claimed that he had been deceived into sodomy by a school teacher who promised to support his education financially. Since then, he says he has not set eyes on the teacher and has never engaged in homosexuality again because he has since repented. Ibrahim was one of 12 men arrested under Sharia on suspicion of breaking the law banning homosexuality. The remaining 11 are in custody and pending further hearing. Five men appeared in court in Baki on January 6th after an allegation that they formed a gay club with $150,000 funding from the United States. So The article is I don't know, it's different when you look into how other countries deal with certain things, and this country is saying that, you know, basically you can be put to death for under Islamic law for practicing homosexuality. And five of the men who appeared in court, they are being convicted because they formed a gay club and the money came from the United States. So it's just like, you know, is the United States the new Sodom and Gomorrah? It's like now y'all spreading that stuff to other people. You know, so I'll pass it around to the panel and see what they think. Pam, what's your thoughts on this article?
Well, if that's true, if the United States is doing that, then we definitely must be Mystery Babylon. I heard that the United States is the head of the snake at one point, at least during 9/11, when the Palestinians were jumping up and down in the street because of the plane crashes. But it is possible that this is Mystery Babylon because it has opened itself up to all cults or all different religions, forms of religions, and it definitely is implementing that it's, you know, okay to live, do what you want to do. You know, that isn't that what Aleister Crowley stated, do what thou wilt? And, you know, a lot of people are taking on that motto and they're living that lifestyle and, you know, and they're trying to pull every other country in to say, hey, come to America, it's okay. You know, commit adultery, fornicate, sodomite, you know, bestiality, it's okay to do all this stuff. And so here we have Mystery Babylon working the seat upon every person that it possibly can suck into its, you know, darkness, you know. So, I mean, I don't want to have to say too much more about it, but that's pretty much what, you know, I see that's what's happening, you know, and if people don't wise up, they're going to get sucked right into the deception. That's my comment.
Yeah, the United States is, you know, if things don't change soon, they're going to have a lot of spiritual blood on their hands. Raf, considering this is talking about Nigeria, what are your thoughts on this article?
Oh, that was to me?
Yeah, Raz.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, I don't have too much to say about it. I want to ask you, though, do you think that he should have been flogged, like, in public like that? I mean, do you think that was over the top, or, like, what do you think about that?
Well, I really don't know how it should have been dealt with personally. The one thing is that you can't beat a spirit out of somebody. So
exactly. Imagine,
you know what I mean?
His will is of the same opinion still. So I don't know. That's
right. I mean, that part wasn't even the part that tripped me out. The part that tripped me out was the fact that, you know, the United States got their hand all in somebody else's business, you know, helping other people, you know. They're essentially helping other people in other countries break the laws of. So that was the thing that tripped me out, the part of the article. Kristen, what were your thoughts on the article?
I mean, the thing that was crazy, I thought that about the money situation was wild. But I'm not, unfortunately, very surprised. I would like to know who was the, you know, co-conspirator who was willing to give the money. But it kind of reminds me of, you know, the situation even in Sacramento. There are strips that are predominantly all homosexual in Sacramento. There's a street downtown where the entire block is known as the gay block, you know, and it's just unfortunate that, as Pam was stating, that this mantra of freedom, you know, of sexual liberties and these such things are being taken from the United States and pressed to other countries. However, what it reminded me of also was Europe. I was told that I had a friend, or some other friend, but someone I knew openly talked about he went to an orgy of 100-plus people in France, you know, and it was actually in the streets. So it's just, when I hear things like that, it's just an affirmation that God is, in fact, coming. You know, he's coming because lawlessness is becoming common. And that's my comment.
I mean, it's just, it's way out. They didn't mention anything about the teacher either. It's like, what happened
to
the
exactly.
teacher?
Yeah, exactly. Correct.
I was supposed to have turned him out. Why this cat ain't getting flogged?
Correct.
Or under the jail or whatever the case may be, you know.
Yeah.
Well, that's
I mean,
all
what was
for...
it?
Go ahead.
Because what was that? What was the scripture? Remember the scripture where the woman, you know, cast the first stone? You know, when Jesus was talking to her, where was the man that actually, you know, the people that was watching in the window?
Right.
You know, they weren't pulled out. And I think, you know, you bring up a valid point, but I think that's something that we do across the board too much. You know, we want to draw the person who committed that act, but not the people who were actually a part of it as well.
Right.
You know, so, and I think the hardest thing with him getting, you know, flogged, he said, he didn't say that he had in fact repented. In the respect that it had been several years, you know, so I can only imagine the torment of him having to even be flogged openly for something that happened a long time ago.
7 years, in fact. So that means he was 13 years old when this happened.
Yeah.
You know, so that's all for my article, Raz. So it's back to you.
Okay, and I want to read an article. I think this is an article that was given to me by Minister Kristen, and it's titled "Lawn Again Christians: South African Preacher Makes Congregation Eat Grass to Be Closer to God." And it says that a South African preacher made his congregation eat grass to be closer to God before stamping on them, under the instruction of Pastor, and I hope I don't butcher his name, but Lesego Daniel of Rabboni Center Ministries, dozens of followers dropped to the floor to eat the grass at his ministry in Garankuwa, north of Pretoria, after being told it would bring them close to God. His controversial methods have drawn criticism from thousands of people, although members of his congregation swear by his methods. He is said to have claimed that humans can eat anything to feed their bodies and survive on whatever they choose to eat. And I'm looking at the article, and it sees this, congregation, they're eating grass like animals on the ground. It's kind of embarrassing. And some of them are actually, man, this lady's got a bunch of grass like a horse in her mouth, like chewing. I'm like, how do you do that? And wowee. And people, I'm showing pictures here of people actually throwing up afterwards. This is crazy. So I just want to pass this around to the panel and see, is this biblical? Does this make Christians believers look like crazy people? Like Minister Nikki, what do you think about that?
I think it's a whole other type of Jim Jones thing. It's to me, it demonstrates how people have a relationship with the man in the pulpit versus a relationship with God. And I'm just going off of, you know, what you read in the article. God hasn't moved on my heart to go out and eat no grass to be closer to him. So I don't know what it was that they, you know, that they heard or anything like that. But to me, it just demonstrates a whole cultish-like movement, and how people are so hungry for knowledge, so hungry for the truth. And when someone is in a position of power, or quote unquote authority, and is charismatic, how they can just about get people to do anything in the name of God, or, you know, whatever it is that they worship. And what people have to be careful of is there is a distinct difference between charisma and anointing. And that's why it's detrimental to have a personal relationship with God, so you can hear God for yourself, because just think of all those people that were with Jim Jones who drunk the juice. Nobody heard God. Nobody said, hey, we shouldn't be doing this. And so it just puts me in, you bring that whole thing to remember it. So I think it's absolute foolishness. And that's my comment.
Okay. And Pam, do you have any comments on this article?
It sounds like foolishness. It sounds like people are being deceived because they're not seeking the Lord. Like Mickey said, seek the Lord with your whole heart. And they're allowing themselves to be manipulated and deceived by man, by some foolish man who is not, he can't be following in, he can't be walking in the Spirit. He can't be hearing from God if he's instructing people to do that. And the people to follow him, they're either weak or they just have no knowledge of the Word. They're ignorant of what the Word of God says because they're not picking the book up and opening it for themselves. You have some religious organizations that won't even pick the book up and read it for themselves. And then there's some that will read it, but then they'll change it. And it's foolishness. It's like people are going to look up and the Lord's going to appear and they're going to wonder what happened, because they did not take the time to get in their prayer closet, fall on their face, fall on their prostate, fall on their knees, and seek the Lord with their whole heart. And it's just really sad. It is just, it's really a pit and a shame that people will allow someone to direct them to do something as foolish as that. It makes no sense. The devil
Absolutely.
Is a lump. The devil is a lie. He's deceiving men. I tell you, it's this time. It's time out for this foolishness.
And wouldn't you agree that would also be an abuse of power by on the pastor's part, where he's obviously confused his position and authority as a pastor and replace it with some structure of manipulation and witchcraft and control?
Yeah.
Minister Christian, what do you have to say about that?
I think I agree with you, Raz. I think that what was disheartening to me is that people do not, even those that are in they're eating the grass, as everybody on the panel has said, they've not, tried the Spirit by the Spirit. And I think that too many times we have, again, like Nikki said, we fall in love with the pastor and not the Lord. And to me, when I read the article and saw it, it was more so disheartening that this man doesn't have a reverence for God himself. That people are not in the congregation are not praying for their pastor. And I think that is something that as a body we need to start recognizing, that pastors are human and that sometimes they also flow in the spirit of error. That's my comment on that.
And that's true. And to have, for him as a man to convince his charisma, his swag, if you want to call it that, must be so potent that he can convince masses of people to degrade themselves. That's almost, he must have a demonic swag or something.
Or people just, people, a lot of times I've known even women from different various churches that I grew up in that have had sex with pastors because the pastors have told them, if you want to hear from God or be close to him, it's just, again, we cannot be spiritually lazy, because out of, the mouth of a pastor, you just observe or take everything to heart. And I think that it's not so much that he has demonic swag. I just think that it's more so demonic that, in fact, that these people are not seeing that this man is clearly not being led by God. If it's not drawing you back to the Lord, then it's not him,
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, guys, if you're tuning in for the first time, we're talking about part two to our last week's show titled The Rise of Satanism in the Music Industry. And in order to kind of get to an understanding of what's going on in the music industry, we need to really know what do Satanists believe? What does the Illuminati believe? What are their true beliefs? So, Pam, I'd like for you to educate us and the people listening today. If you can educate us on what do Satanists really believe? What is their core belief system? And the Illuminati, can you kind of comment on that, please?
Well, if I can remember correctly, a lot of it is based on Gnosticism. the knowledge and the gnosis of, you know, their belief that Adam and Eve, when they were in the Garden of Eden, they had been given, it didn't go like according to the way we understand the gospel, you know, Eve being deceived by the serpent. They believe that God was an evil, some type of evil God, and he was cast out into outer space, and there were some other God, I believe. You might have to help correct me on some of the last.
What that is, real quick, if I don't mind me interrupting you, Pam, what it is, is they believe that, the Gnostics believe that, that they believe that all God that we serve, Yahweh, Jehovah, they believe that he is not the true God. They believe that he was an aborted fetus of the true God and his wife Sophia, and he was, and his remains were sprinkled out there into outer space somewhere, and he somehow brought himself back together and created planet Earth, where he created Adam and Eve. And Cam, if you want to continue from there.
Yeah, and again, like in the Garden of Eden, this particular serpent, I believe they might have called the Semiramis, came to inform them that if they, you know, did not eat of the tree that was placed in the garden, that they, their eyes would not come open. If they listened to God, they would not be able to enjoy life. He was a strict God. He was not allowing them to enjoy life. So therefore, it's like a Scientology, I believe it is. What it is the form of deception to get people to live these lascivious lifestyles and just, you know, do whatever they want to do. And that's what how it's starting to deceive people to think that, okay, God is not real. He you know, we're not to believe in him. We're supposed to believe in this other gospel. And now with the Illuminati's and being pretty much over the music industry, a lot of the music is being is being geared to deceive people to sin and worship the devil. And that's one of the ways that he's deceiving a lot of people, is through this false teaching, the Gnostic gospel, and through the music. And it was just like one of the people, our classmates, was saying that the music that Beyonce just came out with, the lyrics is more geared toward oral sex and some other things. And it's like, who wants to sit in their car and listen to that? You know what I'm saying? We're fighting temptation all day long, and now we're going to sit here and take in some music that's going to make us, you know, constantly meditate on the things that we're, you know, pulling our flesh away from. And it's just totally mind control of what the devil is doing by teaching them a false gospel, a lie, and then using the music as a, just like we worship God and we give God praise through the music, he's taking the music and using it as a tool to get people to sin and outwardly just blaspheme the Holy Spirit. And it's running rampant. Especially, I mean, with the young people, I mean, you still have some old heads and they still listen to old school music and it wasn't as bad. But if you look at the music that's coming out now, they're singing about everything. I mean, it's rated X music, if you want to call it that.
That's
and
true.
It's just eating.
That's good. Well, guys, you know, I want to talk about what blasphemy and entertainment, what is this whole thing really about? I mean, who are these people? Look, every celebrity who is a celebrity can be Googled and can be found throwing up the 666 sign, or some variation of it, covering up the eye, the all-seeing eye of, you know, mimicking the all-seeing eye of Horus. All this is what's going on out there right now. And if you're willing to sell your soul and sacrifice your beliefs to go along with this new world order, the things you have to do to show them that you're down with their program, to show allegiance to them, these are several things. For example, like, if I don't know if you guys ever watched the Kardashians, like Kris Jenner, the Kardashian mom. If you look on the set of her house, when she's doing a talk show with Kanye West is on there, and even on the set of the the Kardashians, you'll notice the black and white checkered pattern, which is a clear Illuminati code. The next thing I noticed is the colors of the satanic flag is black, white, red, and silver. And so all these celebrities are all wearing red, black, white, and silver. The whole VMAs, if you look at the last VMAs, Justin Timberlake comes out in red, black, white, and silver. Robin Thicke, when he came out, what colors did he wear? Again, and you also have the devil horns. A lot of people will find new and creative ways to give themselves horns, like Ciara has in her baseball cap. Devil horns that stick out. Eminem throwing up the devil horn sign over his head. Rick Ross, Meek Mill, Wale, Birdman. You notice everything is in their performances is fire in their performances. Everything is red. These people find it to be cool to depict themselves as Satan. They will do a lot of performances. Like if you look at Beyonce in Super Bowl, it would appear she was performing with fire in the background whilst people were throwing up their hands cheering for her, which is symbolic of her being Satan and people beneath her are being tormented in hell. Well, what are you talking about, Raz? Well, you really have to understand what Satanism, what it really is. These people really believe that they love Satan so much. It's not that they love Satan so much, I'm sorry, it's that they hate God so much that they're passionate about projecting images to symbolize fire and brimstone in hell. That's obviously mocking God. Okay, God, you're pissed off, so what we're going to go ahead and do is keep on pissing you off because we know it saddens you. Look, if you know anything about us here on this show, we try to dig deep. We're not just here trying to go with the flow. These celebrities, these psychos, these satanic worshipers, they throw stuff out there under the guise of entertainment or something crafty or gimmicky or whatever they want to act like it is. They're skilled in using double entendres to convey their dark, destructive agendas. And for those of you that don't know what a double entendre is, a double entendre is a figure of speech in which a spoken phrase is devised to be understood in either of two ways. Typically, one of the interpretations is rather obvious, whereas the other is more subtle. The more subtle of the interpretation is something sexually suggestive, or it may also convey a message that would be socially awkward or dark or evil or twisted. Double entendres generally rely upon multiple meanings of words or different interpretations of the same primary meaning. Jay-Z is good at using this. He says one thing, but he means something totally different. Beyonce has also adopted this strategy. Kanye West, well, he's just out there. So tonight, I want to talk about the significance with a lot of these symbolisms and code verbiage and what their intentions are, especially calling their body of work these things. Beyonce, I am. Kanye West, Jesus. All these ridiculous, satanic, and blasphemous things that the world, for whatever reason, just ignores. Like, whatever, it's no big deal. Well, tonight, we want to tell you what's going on. And as a Christians, do your duty to speak out against it. The Bible says we should hate sin, hate evil, and speak out against it. But for some reason, people do the opposite. They look at people like me, people like Nikki on the panel, and say we're crazy. That's what we're going to do tonight, people. Sister Pam, you cool with that?
I'm down with it.
Nikki, you cool with that?
Yeah, you know I'm with it. Let's ride.
All right, let's do it. Well, there's some psychos out there that just want to sit back and chill. They want to talk about the housewives, scandal, love and hip-hop, and stuff like that, that has no real significance or true depth or value. But when I want to talk about something that is meaningful, oh, my God, Raz, you're a hypocrite. You're being judgmental. Like, what are you talking about? These people are worshiping the devil right before your very faces, and it's kind of weird. I don't know what people are thinking about. They think Satanism is people in dark robes with candles walking up a hill, like what you see in the movies. That's not it, people. It's the politicians. It's the basketball players. It's the musicians. It's the rappers, those actors who are showing their allegiance to Satan through various and obvious ways, and for whatever reason, people are ignoring this. That is how satanic worship is going down these days. But when you love Jesus Christ, you sing hymns, you sing praises, your actions will indicate that you live a godly way of life. You don't walk with your breasts hanging out. You don't commit adultery. You don't do certain things because you love God. Same thing when you love Satan. Your actions will reflect that. Your style of dress will reflect that. The things that you speak about, write about, sing about, rap about, your ideologies will reflect that. So people, research this for yourselves, for what it is in 2014. Things have drastically changed. Before, it used to be on the hush-hush, but now it's just completely blatant. I want to talk about 1 Corinthians 10:21. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and the table of devils. You cannot do both, people. You cannot like Jay-Z and call yourself a Christian. You cannot like Beyonce and call yourself a Christian. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils at the same time. And I used to be one of those people. I used to be one of them, going to the club Saturday night, then church early the next morning. I'm not trying to talk down to people. I used to be like that. I lived the better part of my 20s and early 30s living for the world and trying to live for God at the same time. And there's this cycle that loves to criticize me. I won't mention his name. Raz, you shouldn't portray yourself to be something that you're not. He wants to bring up my past, the things that I used to do back then. Look, I may be many things, but I'm a real guy. I'll be the first to tell you I was living a double life back then. And if the rest of us can be honest, so were most of you, and so was he. But people that live in glass houses should not. But the thing is that I've changed my life, and while I'm not perfect, I'm not the same Raz that I was 10 years ago, or even 2 years ago, or even a year ago, for that matter. So it's all about being honest. It's all about not being fake or using a gimmick. It's about this is where I was, and this is where I am now. There's a process to progress. But the key is you have to make a choice. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Well, let's talk about Jay-Z's Magna Carta album. You have someone out there who is invalidating the Bible through his music, period. Well, let's see what the Bible has to say about this. The Bible says that for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whomsoever believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Well, Jay-Z has been on YouTube and written lyrics that says, I don't believe in God. I don't believe in the Bible. I've never read that, S-H-I-T. He's saying he's negating in his album, Magna Carta, he's negating the validity of the Bible, and he's also saying that he is a God. The Bible says if you don't believe in Christ, you're choosing to spend eternity in the lake of fire. The Bible says that God is a jealous God, and the Lord revengeth and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries and reserve wrath for his enemies. Look, it's like this. Let's say me and Minister Christian, we fall out, and I say I don't like Minister Christian anymore. I don't want to deal with it like that. I'm cool. Well, with God, that's not the end of it. He's not just saying, I don't want to mess with Jay-Z no more. I don't want to mess with Kanye no more. No, God is saying, I'll have my revenge. I'm going to be mad. I'm going to be furious against my adversaries, my enemies, those that have been specifically blaspheming my name. Jay-Z, you're a bold guy, dude. To see that and to understand that God will have revenge on his adversaries and his wrath will be specifically reserved for his enemies, and here you have Kanye calling himself Jesus, Beyonce, I am, Jay-Z's calling himself Jehovah. If that's not the enemy of God, I don't know what is. Man, I promise you this, that you don't want any part in that. A storm is coming, people. A war is coming, and you're going to be forced to take sides. And if you're straddling the fence, you too will receive the Lord's wrath and face vengeance. And that, to me, that's kind of scary. Nikki, what do you think about my comment?
I think it's pretty deep. I mean, it was a long comment, but I mean, you knocked out a lot of points. You started off in the beginning where you was talking about basically, you know, them blaspheming and making a mockery out of, you know, the true and living God and the Bible. But the thing that bothers me, I guess, or I don't know if bother me is the right word, but that piques my interest is why are people so comfortable with accepting this way of life? The thing is that the reverse has happened. First, everything bad was done in the dark. You know what I mean? Now it's flipped to where everything bad is done right in your face and it's accepted. First, it was like things were done subtly, you know, little by little, you know, to kind of desensitize us, what we saw, what we listened to. And now it's just outright ridiculousness, and I guess basically kind of the propaganda has kind of worked because nobody's challenging the things that are wrong. And it kind of goes back to kind of sort of the articles that I was talking about, and kind of the article that you were talking about, Raz, too, the way that people are and their mindset and the state of mind that they're in now, to where they're willing to accept anything. And, you know, it's like this satanic movement people are doing things in fads, you know what I mean? It's the tattoos, it's the ear piercings, it's the girls wearing the clothes as skimpy as absolutely possible, darn near naked. It's a fad that they think that they're going through and that they're dealing with, but it's influenced by what you see and what you hear, and it's a spiritual change. It's a spiritual indoctrination that's going on, and it's just horrible how in this day and age we don't have really those people of old that were really staunch believers. And, you know, the old ladies, how they used to see the young girls walking down the street and, you know, and tell her that her skirt was too short or her pants were too tight. You don't see any of that because most of them have passed on. And those morals weren't passed down, or they got lost somewhere in translation. So we also live in a society that's a free-for-all. So it's like everything about God has been made a mockery of, and people, these artists are literally selling their souls, you know, and then they're not even happy. Once they go through all that, they're not even happy. I mean, most successful artists, especially back in the day, but most successful artists, whether they're in the music industry or they're in movies or whatever it is, most of them, they have a terrible, horrible demise. They become so famous and they have everything that the layperson thinks that they want, but for some reason they're overdosing on drugs, being found dead somewhere. And so it's like, does the end really justify the means? So, you know, I mean, that's my comment on that, Raz.
Definitely. I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but I have no sympathy for people who blaspheme because they're trying to fit into some type of clique. They're sacrificing their love for Jesus Christ for money, for YouTube hits, Twitter followers, Facebook fans, for a couple of $1 million. I mean, you got the rapper Meek Mill was asked, would he sell his soul for a couple of $1 million? And he said no. Then they asked, what about for hundreds of millions? He said, probably. I mean, you would sell God for $100 million? That's crazy. $100 million, that's it? That's all your soul is worth? I mean, Pam, what do you think about that?
Well, I think it's sad because in the end, they're going to find out that they didn't really gain anything, you know. It's just a temporary fix, you know. The lust of the eyes, the pride of life, and the lust of the flesh. It's the flesh that they're pleasing, their flesh. And it's a temporary fix. And, you know, the Bible told us, this scripture I have, this scripture I want to share with you guys, in 1 John, it says, little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard, the Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists whereby we know that it is the last time. Okay? He also went on to say in verse 19, they went out from us. This is what they do. They go out because they're being lured out and this money is enticing. And they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifested, that they were not all of us. And see, you know, even for a believer who is enticed and pulled out, can't even enjoy being in sin. There were times when I knew I had fallen short, and I couldn't even enjoy being in that situation because of the conviction is so strong. And then, but you have some people that can be in sin and have no conviction and don't feel no, you know, they have no regrets, or they don't feel, you know, that they're hurting the heart of God. And it's really, really, that's where the question is really luring these people and pulling them out, but it's showing that they were weak. They didn't really, you know, they were able to be pulled out, and it's really, really sad. And so here we are talking about many antichrists. You got these people who are actually being used, being pawned by Satan. They're anti-God, and they're being used by Satan to pull people away from God. Even those that want to be with God are being pulled by God because it feels so good to the flesh, you know. And like Nikki was saying with the clothing, you know, when I see a girl's skirt is so short that, I mean, literally it's like a shirt, okay? You know, and I look at that and I say, you know, I don't even want to be judgmental. But, you know, I wish I had the boldness of some of those mothers to walk up to her and say, you know, honey, is, you know, to say something to them. But at the same time, it's like, you know, you don't want to be offensive and you don't want to go up to somebody and try to correct them in something that they're choosing to do. You know, and so it's like, you know, sometimes I just, Lord, help me, you know, help me. I wish I had the boldness to say something to them, but help me to just keep myself, you know, from being lured out into that direction, because it is really, really sad. And sometimes I can't even believe some of the stuff that they're wearing. It's like I just shake my head and say, wow, we are really living in a wicked, wicked time. Because people,
but Pam, you know what? I think that on that comment, I think that's what the issue is. I think that we're in a time where us true believers, you know, we have kind of lost that salt, that flavor, because if we're not saying it, if we're not pulling these girls to the side, and of course, you know, they may buck up, you know what I'm saying? They may, you know, turn their nose up, but then at the same time, they may, you know, out of every 10, you're going to at least plant that seed in one, you know what I mean? But it's like if we don't even have the courage to say anything, to help, and that's what it is. We're all basically, I got my ticket in, you know what I'm saying? And not saying that we don't minister or evangelize or any of that, but I'm saying on these things of life, by me dealing with teen mothers and things of that nature, these girls don't even have common moral sense. The thing that you would think is so common, because, you know, it's common to me and it's like common sense to me, it's like foreign to these girls. It's because they haven't been taught. So, you know, so you being a mother, you know, me being a mother, I can't walk past and just shake my head. Like, you know, I'm going to say something. You know, I'm like, and it's just all in my delivery. You know, do they always accept it? No. But I don't want to be held accountable, you know what I'm saying, for missing that opportunity, because guess what? How many other people are they going to walk past and they just put their head down or shake their head and like, Lord, if that was my daughter. You know what I mean? So it's like we are women that can be influential and have been influential in the kingdom of God. You know, your daughter was on last week, and, you know, just listening to her, you can tell she has a great foundation. You know, I've always said that your kids are your report card, and I'm quite sure, you know, she's gone through things and everything wasn't perfect, but listening to her, you did an awesome job with raising that young lady. So how much more could you pour into somebody else? So that's I just wanted to comment on that. I don't want to go on a whole tangent, but I just wanted to comment on that.
That's a good point. That's a good point. But here's my thing is this, is that I'm tired of people saying, like, again, we're talking about the rise of Satan in music, and people want to talk about housewives. They want to talk about all these other topics that have no value, no meaning, or no depth for nothing. But when we want to talk about something substantial like this, I get accused of being judgmental. I get accused of being certain things. Like we have to be politically correct now? I mean, and these are Christians
saying
this to other Christians.
Everything is flipped. It's flipped now. That's exactly what I'm saying. We have been lulled into a desensitized state of thinking as to where what is good now, what was good and moral and acceptable back then, it is now bad. So it's like a reprobate state that somehow we've entered into. And so to be good is abnormal. Everybody is doing what's bad. Everybody has something up their sleeve. Nobody is good. Everybody has a little mud in their water. And that's not necessarily true. You know, the Bible says, come from among them. Be transformed. And so the problem is we have so many believers that don't want to stand out. They don't want to stick out like a sore thumb. So all the stuff that you were talking about, housewives and all this other ridiculousness, scandal, I still ain't watched that show. All that stuff goes hand in hand with the whole movement. It's accepted and it's acceptable, this African-American woman that has all this going on being the jump off of the president. It's acceptable now because of the way that we're thinking. I mean, back in the day, I mean, a woman was looked down upon for being the side chick. On this doggone show, according to what you guys were saying, she's praised, and these women are stuck to the TV. You know, so it's just the way of thinking. If you look back, and I said this before, if you look back on I Love Lucy, look at I Love Lucy versus a show today, say Scandal, complete opposite. You know, Lucy and Ricky were married, but they didn't even sleep in the same bed because that projection, it wasn't allowed. Now it's okay. It's just been little by little by little. You know, the sexy start coming in to play when I Dream a Genie and Ginger on Gilligan's Island with these little short shirts and all that. It starts sneaking in then. And so now it's just full. I mean, they outright cursing on regular TV now. I mean, it's changed so much. So it's just like, okay, what are we going to do?
Absolutely. You know, again, I'm going to read this scripture again because I really think this scripture is really relevant. And this is 1 Corinthians 10:21. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and the table of devils. You cannot do both. So, I mean, we need to think about that, man. And people like Kanye and Jay-Z, they're brilliant people. I got to give them that. They're brilliant at using these double entendres and really inserting their blasphemous lyrics in there and getting people to believe that listen to their lyrics that it's nothing. It means nothing. And that's not true. It's very satanic. And I want to talk about real quick. These are some of the things I was doing some research on, and these are some of the confessions of artists that have actually admitted that their fame, their wealth, their notoriety in the entertainment industry came from satanic origins. And this is a confession of Joni Mitchell in 1974. Told the press of a male spirit who helps her write music. Now, Joni Mitchell, she credits her creative powers to a male muse she identifies as art. He has taken so much control not only of her music but her life that she feels married to him and often roams naked with him on her 40-acre estate. His hold over her is so strong that she will excuse herself from parties and forsake lovers whenever he calls. And that can be found in Time Magazine, December 16th, 1974, page 39. People, check it out. And this is Nikki's favorite artist, Lady Gaga, apparently gets her music from demons. Her music from demons. She said herself that she has the spirit of her dead aunt living inside her, which is really a demon, and that the spirit of Alexander McQueen wrote a song for her called Judas, where she presumes she expresses sympathy for Judas who betrayed Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. She also says that she bought a Ghostbuster machine worth thousands of dollars because she said she's convinced evil spirits are haunting her. She bought a Ghostbuster machine. Does that even exist? Wow. She also expressed that she had terrible nightmares with occult imagery, but she would use it as inspiration for her stage acts, which would consist of mock self-sacrifice and hanging by noose. So Satan is obviously using Gaga for his agenda, brainwashing the masses. But another one is John Lennon. We all know who John Lennon is. For those of you who don't know, John Lennon is actually a Beatle, and the Beatles was a British band back in the 1940s, 50s, 60s. All right, Pamela.
Well, Aleister Crowley was one of the first ones. He brought them over to America, and I know he helped them start teaching them how to write messages backwards, you know, putting a lot of messages. I can't remember exactly where they came over.
Okay, so John Lennon is saying that it is believed to have sold his soul or made a deal with the devil. In fact, he said it himself. There's even a book about it called The Lennon Prophecy. The Beatles were known to channel evil spirits as those, you know, those in their inner circles. John Lennon once said, "When the real music comes to me, it has nothing to do with me because I'm just a channel. It's given to me, and I transcribe it like a channel." He once referred to himself as a hollow temple in which the spirits would inhabit him, then leave to be inhabited by another. When asked why the Beatles were so successful, he said himself, I sold my soul to the devil, and that was in one of his books and written by McGraw Hill. And Kurt Cobain is an American musician and artist, best known as the lead singer guitarist of Nirvana. And his life goal was to get stoned and worship Satan. And Kurt Cobain was obsessed with Satanist Anton LaVey. Cobain even wanted LaVey to record a song with him. Cobain was known to desecrate churches by writing "God is gay" and other blasphemies. It was reported that he was involved in witchcraft, and he also was channeling demons. And he ended up, I believe, committing suicide. He had a very tragic death. And I want to talk about Angus Young, who was a lead guitarist for AC/DC, and is called the Guitar Demon. And he admitted that something takes control over the band during their concerts. It's like I'm on an automatic pilot. By the time we're halfway through the first number, someone else is steering me. I'm just along for the ride. I become possessed when I get on stage. And he mentioned this in an article in a magazine called Hit Parade in July 1985, page 60. So Beyonce confessed that she's controlled by an external force. She calls this external force or this entity Sasha Fierce. She said it takes control of her when she performs on stage. It has been said that in one performance, she was angry after a performance because Sasha Fierce threw her ring on her finger to the audience along with her new album. Beyonce has presented her fans to a new alter ego named Sasha Fierce. So that's a lot of these are confessions, of course, of people. Kate Perry is one of them, admitted setting her soul to the devil. We've got David Bowie, Little Richard. This is pretty interesting. Little Richard testified that rock music is demonic. My true belief about rock and roll and there have been a lot of phrases attributed to me over the years is this: I believe this kind of music is demonic. A lot of the beats and music today are taken from voodoo, from the voodoo drums. And so he said that he studies music. If you study the rhythms, you'll see that it's true. And so there's a lot of stuff going on here, man. This stuff goes deep. But again, when we talk about this kind of stuff, we're being judgmental, we're being crazy. You know, we shouldn't throw stones because we listen to stuff that is, I mean, come on, man. I mean, you know, these people are doing this right in front of your eyes, and it's just amazing how many of us Christians are so benign to all this stuff, man. Pam, what do you think about my comment?
Well, it kind of makes you think about the zombie movement. You know, if you look around on TV, you see zombies everywhere. And I think, Satan is using every way possible to mind control people, to get their mind under his control. They're being used. They're like zombies. They're his tools. They're his vessels. Just like you have, we have the gospel. He has his message, and that is, to turn and forsake God and worship me, and it's becoming so strong all across America. It's like what you were saying with Lady Gaga. She even talked about how she bathes in blood and wants to eat babies. I mean, Satan is so wicked. He's got these people programming the minds of people, using them as vessels, that this stuff is okay. Just today, I walked in the gym, and on TV I saw Wendy Williams, the lady that gets paid to gossip. She was showing this picture of a baby in a buggy, like he was a robot-controlled baby in a buggy that was a demon-possessed baby. And it looked so real that people would walk up to the empty to the buggy, wondering why is this baby not attended. And then this baby jumps out like it's demon possessed. His head's turning and he's spitting out the stuff. So, you know, not only just through the music, but it's through visual aid, it's through the television that this demonic forces are programming people and turning people into like walking zombies, like they have no power over themselves. Like you said, even you know. On the stage, how the man is being manipulated to deceive people, and it is just—it's to the point now where we really do need to get the word of God in us, and we need to get that anointing, walking that anointing so powerfully, so strong that when the Holy Spirit comes over us to do certain things, to minister to people, like you were saying, Nikki. I mean, I can remember I went to a birthday party, and it was in a club atmosphere. Downtown, and they were having a birthday party for a friend of ours, Mia Raz, our sister, spiritual sister. She had me come down there, and I couldn't stay long, but for the time that I was there, the power of God moved on me in the bathroom, and I started witnessing to this woman, to this lady, a woman who had a daughter, and it was like the Lord, I was just there long enough to minister to that girl and get up out of there. And, you know, it wasn't about what she had on. It was just the Holy Spirit just came on me so strong. It's just that was what, you know, I had to be obedient to it. And that's where we have to get to a place where God, where the Holy Spirit can use us in a time like that. But I'm sure, you know, being a mother, like you were saying, we need to get bold and we need to stop and take our time and talk to some of these young girls and just give them a word of encouragement and say, you don't have to walk around like that. You know, you don't have to wear that. And there's a way, we can say anything, it's just how you say it. You know, it's just allowing the Holy Spirit to you know, move on us, you know, overshadow us so that we can have that boldness. Because they're bold, they're outwardly bold, you know, and we got to get that boldness.
Absolutely. You know, they're outwardly bold because, again, the whole agenda is to blaspheme God, to sadden God. You know, and to really ridicule God, and that's the whole purpose behind calling themselves Jesus, like Kanye and Jehovah and all this other stuff. And I wanted to quickly talk about, you know, a lot of these artists, these musicians, and who their inspiration is, who are their main. I'm talking about Jay-Z, Kanye, B, who else? Tyler, the Creator, that demonic little kid, and a lot of these other people, the Beatles, especially the Beatles, and a lot of these people that I mentioned just a minute ago, who is their inspiration? And it brings me back to a gentleman by the name of Aleister Crowley, born in 1875, perished, he died in 1947. Born Edward Alexander Crowley, was an English occultist, a ceremonial magician, a poet, and a mountaineer. He was responsible for founding the religion and philosophy of Thelema, in which role he identified himself as the prophet entrusted with guiding humanity into the aeon of Horus in the early 20th century. Aleister was a devout Satanist who proclaimed himself as the Beast 666. Aleister Crowley was also a 33rd and 97th degree Freemason, and is recognized as a master Satanist of the 20th century. So big shout-out to all you Masons out there. Led Zeppelin idolized and promoted Aleister Crowley, described as the most wicked man in the world. So Crowley was, I mean, the research that I got on this guy, man, is horrible. Crowley was a despicable human being who was worshipped, summoned demons through drug usage, impregnated countless women with sex rituals throughout his whoremongering career, manipulated people, indulged in kinky sex orgies and unspeakable acts of homosexuality. He ate the excrement of women during rituals, sacrificed hundreds of children in rituals, filed two of his teeth down so he could bite women during sex, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Pretty much this guy was a nutcase, but yet at the same time, Jay-Z and all these other guys are wearing his T-shirts that depict his slogans, do what thy wilt, and things of that nature. Nikki, what do you think about that?
It's funny that you brought that up because I actually was sitting here reading about him after Pam mentioned him. And it just, like I said, it just goes back to when the time began to change. And I mean, there, and one of the what are you talking about? One of the things that you're talking about as far as the artists selling their souls, you mentioned Anton LaVey. You know, a lot of these Satanists and devil worshippers, a lot of their slogans and they're starting to make them, like, into clothing, T-shirts. And I'm watching some of these kids, and that's what I'm saying. Parents are not, they're just not parents anymore, and they're so freaking, they're so ignorant. I'm watching a lot of these kids walking around with shirts with the all-seeing eye on it and shirts that saying obey, and, you know, and I'm like, I mean, nobody is doing a study on what this stuff means. Where is it coming from? Anytime there's something that everybody flocked to in the masses, that should send a red flag up for believers, just period, you know. But this Aleister Crowley stuff, I mean, it sounds like, one of the things that you were talking about as far as, like, you know, the sex acts and all of this whole kind of stuff, all it did was, you know, really, really break down barriers and open the door for the things that we see now as far as homosexuality. Even when we were talking on the show about a month or so ago about how, where was that at, in China or somewhere where they're eating the soup with the embryos in it. I mean, all this weird stuff. I mean, it's just like just coming out in droves. It's like, let's see who can, it's like the demons are having contests with each other. Let's see how far we can go with these humans now, you know. And it's just like everybody is, Kristen said it earlier, most people are so spiritually lazy, they just rolling with it. They just going with whatever, you know? And it just goes back to how the family is broke down. The cost of living is so high. All of that runs hand in hand, because if there's not a father in the house, then everything is left on the mother. If I have to work for a living to take care of my kids, and I'm out of the house because I'm trying to provide for my kids, then who's there governing my children? They're governing themselves. So it's just a way for, say, all of this stuff. I mean, we got to wake up, because it's like we've been asleep we have to been asleep for this to, it didn't just pop up today or yesterday or last year. This stuff has been coming into existence. I mean, it's just been little by little by little, and now it's just like, oh, my goodness, like, you know, what happened? So, I mean, that's my comment.
Absolutely. That's so true, man. And, man, I don't know. I think that, I think it's about that time, you know, where, yeah, we really have to wake up. We really have to really, you know, really pay attention to all these things. And but let me ask you, this is to both you and Nikki and Pam. Now, as a believer or someone who's hearing what we're saying, where can they research this stuff? I mean, because we're just talking, and we don't know what we're talking about. Some people are just, you know, saying this, what we're saying is completely outlandish, we're being judgmental, yada, yada, yada. So where can people research into this stuff? I mean, like I said, you can go on Google. You can see a lot of these celebrities, who is a celebrity, filling up the 666 sign. That's that, the three fingers and a circle they make with their hands, noting three sixes, 666. That is blatantly showing allegiance to Satan. Again, if you are a believer, if you love God, you do things that God loves. You do things that God says to do. You sing praises and worship to God. You do things. But when you are satanic and you have allegiance to Satan, you do satanic things. So, guys, Nikki, where can they find out this information?
Well, it's just like you said. We are in the age of technology. You don't even have to have a computer. Everybody and their mama got a cell phone, except for my oldest son, Taj. But everybody has a cell phone with internet access. You can go on Google, on whatever, Wikipedia, whatever you want to go on, and just type in, you know, satanic, rise of Satan, satanic symbols in music. Oh, you're going to get a drove of information. But see, the problem is that most people don't want to take that time out to do that because of the simple fact that they don't want to open up that can of worms, or we are in a time to where everybody wants to do what it is that they want to do, you know. And but if you are interested, go online. And then you can even go online and put in things like what does the Bible say about Satanism? You'll get scriptures, you know. You just have to do your work. You can't rely on other people to bring you the truth. I don't even care if it's a pastor, a best friend. You can't rely on someone else for your soul salvation. You have to go get the truth for yourself. Other than that, you're going to be like that congregation in Africa eating grass because that's what the pastor said to do.
Absolutely. You know, we have a call. I want to take this call real quick. We have a call from the 310 area code. Hello, caller. Where are you calling from? What's your name? Do you have a question or comment? Hello, caller from the 310 area code. All right, they just want to listen in. Pam, do you have a comment?
Well, yeah, Nikki was right about the phone. You can type in, like, Alistair Crawley. You can pull up all his information. Remember the book that he put together? He put together some type of, I don't know, his 777, he called it. You even saw that on Michael Jackson's arm swash. Remember he had that band on his arm and it had the 777? It would just show they have their symbols to identify who they're following after. You can type in everything on your cell phone and pull it up. They're making the information available. I typed in, I was looking up the 7-year peace treaty with Israel, the Antichrist signing a peace treaty, and I pulled up gobs of information. So everybody can do research right now if they're, open to learn and prepare themselves for what's going on and what's about to come. This is really getting serious now. I mean, it's getting to the point now where we, you know, rather we were studying Revelations, and it gets into chapter 9 of Revelation. It talks about the abyss. It talks about Satan, I mean, these demonic spirits being released from the abyss, from the pit. And if we, I mean, can you imagine the stuff that we're seeing now? What's it going to be when those demon spirits are released up out of the abyss? And we're already seeing them.
Now, Pam, I'm sorry to interrupt you, Pam. Quickly tell us, I mean, because you are what we call a revelator in eschatology, and eschatology is the study of the end times. Now, Pam, since a lot of these people love Kanye West and Jay-Z, and Jay-Z and them are saying that there is no God and they're mocking God, can you let us know what to expect from the end times? How bad is it really going to be? And don't hold back. I mean, let us know for real, what's really going to go on.
Well, see, you know, a lot of people think, okay, a lot of this prophecy stuff has already happened, but they don't realize those. And a lot of people will say, this is how I believe they're being deceived, by being told that if God is a God of love, how could he allow this to happen? Why would he allow people to die? Why would he do this? You know, why would he pour out his wrath on God? But see, they don't understand that Satan's going to be pouring some wrath out too, because there's going to come a time where Satan is going to be cut off from third heaven, I mean, from access. You know, you have the first and second and third heaven, and he has access because he's still trying to accuse the brethren, and he still has access to, you know, going up into the heavenly realm. But once he's cut off from that third heaven, he's going to be cast down like a bolt of lightning, the scripture says. And he's going to come down with great wrath, seeking to whom he can devour. He's going to be so angry that now he's been just totally, he cannot even access that heavenly arena that he had been accessing. He cannot get up in there anymore. So now he's going to come down here, and you think he hates humans. Now he's really going to take it out on human beings because, I mean, it's just he knows his time is winding up. And see, people don't realize, even with Kanye West, he did this video where he had this angel, this female angel, looked like she had fallen from the sky, like a ball of fire. And, you know, it's just a weird video. I don't know if you guys have seen it, but, you know, somehow she comes and, and he has sex with this angel, and she's dancing some weird little dance. He's playing music, and then she takes off and leaves, you know. And it's all of these videos, what they're showing is Satan, coming down here to the earth, dwelling among men. But when the wrath comes down, you see, you have Satan trying to, you know, destroy man. I mean, just literally the abyss. Revelation chapter 9 is talking about him. Demon spirits are going to come out, and the way the scriptures talk about it is like they're going to have teeth like lions, you know, fangs like lions and heads like men. I mean, they describe it. These demon spirits are going to be, I don't know if they're literally going to look like that, but they're going to be very, very evil beings. And they're going to seek to destroy, torment men. But see, we also got to look at the fact that God is not happy with this world system. So once the angels are being held back right now, once those angels are released off the four corners of the earth to pour out those bowls and sound those trumpets and those seals are broken, it's going to be a mess down here. And that's the thing that people do not want to believe. That's where he's deceiving them to believe that he's not going to do this. Yeah, he is going to do it because homosexuality is on the rise. It's an abomination. God is angry with the way people are living. They turn their back on him. He is going to allow the wrath of God to hit this earth. And what's so cool about it is like these earthquakes, like today, they were showing this Northridge earthquake, which is today marks 20 years ago. The Bible says that the earthquake is going to be so bad that, I mean, when you see these movies and you see how these demon dogs and these demon-possessed people, picture that. But twice that, three times that, you know, demon spirits coming up out of the pit and the rise of the Antichrist and the sun turning black and the moon turning to blood. I mean, it's probably going to be a mess. It's probably people. It's going to be darkness, total chaos, flesh laying all over the place. But then it also talks about the earthquake that's going to come, and it's going to move mountains. It's going to shift mountains. You won't even be able to recognize cities and towns. I mean, we think that tsunami was bad in Japan. It's going to be way worse than that. And see, that's why we're studying Bible prophecy, because it is going to be a very, very serious time, and saints of God don't want to be here. Nobody should want to be here. But these people are going to sit, they're kicked back, they're laid back, they're partying, and they're, you know, living these lifestyles, and they don't realize the seriousness of it. They're going to wake up, and it's going to be like, super too late, because God is not playing. And the cool thing about it is, while, you know, everybody's living this lascivious lifestyle, and Satan is allowing, the Antichrist is allowing people to do this stuff, God is going to put it in his heart to actually turn on the people and say, okay, now you can't worship your gods the way you want to worship. Now you're going to worship me. And see, that's the cool thing that these people don't realize. Satan is going to turn on them. He's going to literally turn on them, the one that they serve and the one they throw in these hand symbols up, worshiping, thinking that he's going to have some paradise for them. He's going to turn on them. And that's where they don't realize that that's what's going to happen.
And that's an important point, Pam, that you really got to, you know, hit home today, because Satan, he has no ability to love. God so loved the world, he gave his only son. Satan's only using, these people are being used as tools by Satan. There's no love there. He's using them, and he can take, and when he takes them, and when he uses them up, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the scripture that I read earlier on, the Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries and reserve wrath for his enemies. Man, it's going to be a terrible thing to get in the hands of God, man. I mean, these people are so bold. Like I said, the Jay-Z's and all these other people are so bold, mocking God like it's funny, taking Jesus' name and calling themselves, you know, just this, you know, using these double entendres to say one thing and mean something completely different, knowing fully well what they're doing. They're mocking God, and they're promoting this mockery of God, you know, and again.
They're Lucifer's hitmen, basically.
God ain't playing, people. I mean, you know, what 50 years compared to eternity? What 60, 80, 90 years? You know what I mean? Keep being arrogant. keep being that because you're rich and you're famous and all these things, you're untouchable.
But if you think about it, it brings me back to, it puts me in remembrance of the scripture of Luke 17, I believe it's 25 and 26. It's talking about the coming of the kingdom, and it says, let me go to it so I will say it right. But first he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. And just as it happened in the days of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man. They were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, they were being given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them. So basically, and we know the word, but for the listeners, in the time of Noah, they had become so wicked, and that's what caused God to destroy everything, every living. I'm talking about even down to the bugs. He was like, you know, all y'all became wicked. I mean, at that time, the fallen angels had entered into, you know, and had made babies with the women on earth and had shown the people of earth how to basically do black magic, cast spells, combine species, stuff like that. So it was really weird in that time. And we have begun to enter into the most wicked time that, you know, of our age that we know of. And so, you know, it's like if you know your word, then you pay attention to these things. And as of right now, you know, I don't know about anybody building a real ark because God said he wouldn't destroy the earth again with a flood. But it's like he's basically calling us believers to start building your spiritual ark because he is going to be, you know, things can't keep getting so wicked, you know, to where God is not going to intervene. And it's getting worse and worse by the day. I mean, people have become so comfortable with doing the wrong thing, and it's like their conscience have been seared, and they're passing it down to their children, to their friends, to just anybody who listens. And the person that's the worst and the baddest and can get away with it is the one that's held and praised. But the person that's, you know, trying to speak good and, you know, speak the word is the person that's scrutinized. So, I mean, people, we just got to wake up. And like I said, that scripture is Luke 17, 25 through 27. You know, I mean, just go back and look it up and, you know, follow scripture. And, I mean, because it's right there. But Satan has people so spiritually lazy to where, you know, people don't pick up the Bible. They will not pick the word up, you know. And then, you know, how we were talking last week, somebody said that, you know, the priest even said that the Bible was basically like a mythical book, basically, you know. So, I mean, everything's being thrown in the water, you know. All types of mud is being thrown at the wall to see what's going to stick. And a lot of that mud is sticking because a lot of people are turning away.
Absolutely, guys. You know what? We're out of time. We've got 1 minute left. So in a few seconds each, Pam, real quick, you have a few seconds. What's your closing comments? A couple seconds.
Like Nikki was saying, people study, seek the Lord with all your heart, because in those days men will seek death and they won't find it. They'll desire to die, but they will not. Death will flee with them. They will have to go through it. They will have to go through. Right now you have an opportunity to not have to go through the tribulation and the wrath that's coming. Seek the Lord while he may be found, and draw nigh unto him so that you can receive salvation and know that God has a perfect plan for your life.
Couple seconds.
You know me, I'm always, you know, just spend your time with God, your own relationship with God, set time apart for him in the morning, pray. Read a couple scriptures, but spend time, set aside time for him so he can lead you.
Absolutely. Guys, it's been a pleasure. My name is Brad Burns. This Can We Talk Radio every Friday. Tune in the same time next week.